Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Image that is before him, and he tries to get down for us and write down and describe this message. And he says he was in the spirit, and he was in the heightened spiritual sensitivity. Come up here. For those who are prophetic, you know what that is, as Clive mentioned, with Angela. And we look at the one who sat on the throne in verse 4:8. And here is God. He's not described in form, but in terms of brilliance and glory, jasper and sardius stone represent purity and holiness. But do you realize that was the first and the last stone that was on the breastplate of Aaron? The tabernacle of Moses, you know, God, in the beginning of Genesis, God does this pattern and he follows through. And we see the two bookends, Genesis to Revelation, held up in God's word. Lightning, thundering, the awesome presence of God, the power of God, the sevenfold ministry of the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, of might and of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. We see here the sea of glass in 4 verse 6, like crystal, that unapproachable majesty of God. And it's very similar to Ezekiel 1:26. And above the firmest over their heads was the likeness of a throne in appearance like sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was likeness of the appearance of a man, high and lifted up. The four living creatures are angelic beings who resemble Ezekiel's and Isaiah's cherubim, the higher ranking celestial beings. And they represent all the vital force of creation whose primary function is to worship day and night. Night and day. Full of eyes symbolizes the unceasing watchfulness of God. The lion, calf, man, eagle symbol of majestic courage, strength, intelligence, and speed in the service of the Creator. And you know, in verse 5:11, then I looked, and the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them. I mean, this picture is amazing. 10,000 times 10,000 times thousands of thousands, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." It's just so powerful. And we see that the celestial representatives of all the redeemed who worship continuously, white robes represent purity. And these elders acknowledge the one from whom all blessing flows as they bow down and praise the God as Creator in antiphonal singing of psalms. Now, antiphonal, what I mean by that? Well, antiphonal was a phrase, was when a choir would sing. They would start off with a psalm. So we used to sing that song, Jesus, we adore you. Lay our lives before you. And then the other side. So if I was to split this room in this side and you guys were to start, Jesus, we adore you, and then this side would then continue singing. Do you get the idea? So that word worship comes from the word proskuneo. And from that word, the word prosk, towards, kuneo, to kiss, And that is to prostrate oneself, bow down, or show reverence, do homage. All believers have one dimensional worship to the only Lord and Savior. We do not worship angels. We do not worship saints. We do not worship shrines, relics, or even hero worship, you know, celebrity culture and all that sort of thing. I mean, dare I mention Will Smith and Chris Rock? How is that heading over Ukraine and there are worse things going on in the world today? Really? So worship is central because God is at the center. Worship is continuous because we'll be doing that forever. Listen, guys, if you're not worshiping now, whether in your homes or whether you come on a corporate Sunday, you better get used to it because it is forever. It is forever. And worship is celebrational because there is one who is worthy to open the scroll. Worship is also spontaneous. That's what got me excited. I love worship. You know when Cecilia was giving me some tunes and I was like, yes, man. I will get even more undignified than this. But no, I'm holding it together. I'm holding it together, you know? So part of being a child of God involves us wearing a crown. And there are five crowns mentioned in the Bible. One, the incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9, 24-25. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do get a crown that will not last, but we get a crown that will last forever. Second, the crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19-20. For what is our hope, our joy, of the crown in which we glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory. Three, the crown of life. James 1, 2, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life. For those believers who endure, Revelation 2:10 says, but if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. Four, the crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy 4:8. Now there is in store, this is Paul describing, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. Five, the crown of glory. For leaders, 1 Peter 5, 1-4. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God amongst you. Exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Not as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be an example. And I believe this crown will be given to ministers who faithfully feed the flock. And that probably includes teachers, preachers, Sunday school teachers, missionaries, all those who teach the word of God. John Wesley, Charles Spurgeon, said this. There is a throne in heaven that no one can occupy but you. And there is a crown in heaven that only you can wear on your head. And there is a part in the internal song that no voice can ever compass but yours. There is a glory to God that would be missing if you did not come to render it. And there is a part of infinite majesty and glory that would never be reflected unless you should be there to reflect it. Guys, how much more have we got to speak about the gospel, gossip the gospel, talk the gospel, speak the gospel, preach the gospel, live the gospel? You have rights of conquest as a warrior. You shall have the rights of character, for your character will be perfect before long. And you have the rights of possession, for God has given you all that which goes with a crown. It's a powerful symbol. It's given to us by God. The act of laying down crowns before his throne signifies that those crowns came from the one seated on the throne. And I think this needs to become a reality in our lives, in our daily lives. He is the source of everything. We have no power of our own. We only have what he has made available to us. It all comes by the grace of God. He has bought us salvation. The crown is a powerful symbol, traditionally, and where it comes from. Basically, its root is in the Bible. Modern day crowns. They're made from the most precious metals. The crown represents authority given to the recipient, and the climax of every coronation is actually the crowning. In that moment, when the recognition and authority is set in place for all to see. Now get this, guys. Can you imagine that God wants to do this for you, for me, for Clive, for each and every Christian, for each and every person here right now? Can you imagine? I can't get my head around it. That picture. And part of laying down their crowns, Revelations 4:10, they lay their crowns before the throne. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist. The question is, why would they do this? They are deferring honor to the one whom all honor is due. And that spontaneous reaction to the presence of one who carries the final authority. You know, how does one sit with a crown on your head in the presence of the King of Kings? How can we carry our own crown in front of the one who carried the crown of thorns? When we grasp how great, how great God is and the thing that he has done for us, we can only but remove our crowns and lay them at his feet. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. It's our acts of worship. What are they doing? They are laying down their rights and their privileges and their wills. They place everything under subjection to God. They were immensely thankful. And they honor in him. I went to a conference a while back. when we could go conferences. We just recently came back from one. And I remember the guy who was speaking, he said he's a worship leader and leader of church. And he said this. He wanted to practice thanking God. And he said what he would do for the whole day, on the hour, every hour, he would stop what he was doing and worship and praise and thank God in that moment. And I think we can learn a lot from that. How thankful are you, church? Have you ever laid down your crown? Laying down our crowns? Have you laid down your crown of achievements and success and recognize and acknowledge that all that comes from Him? It's easy to think that we've achieved those things. Take the personal credit. And we can develop a self-made attitude in the world that we live in. You know, it's like, I've done it, I'm entrepreneurial, I've got the gift, it's all me, me, me. It's actually a form of pride, which got the enemy into trouble. And his fate is sealed, done. We need to get to a point where we are so moved by what God has done for us that we spontaneously lay down these things that God puts in our hands. And we're open-handed and we lay them down. Guys, we can be more open-handed, can't we? This should be our attitude now, not just on the day when we see Him face to face. I sing that song, I'm giving you my heart and all that is within. I'm laying down my rights for the sake of you, my King. For the promise of new life, I surrender. That's my word for you guys. How grateful are you? You know, that new song, as they all joined in, that spontaneous worship. And as Cecilia was singing out about a new song, sing your new song, that new song. Us thinking about perfect harmony, perfect pitch. There won't be any of this, la, 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 you know, wherever you are. I'm not saying belittling anyone that doesn't sing properly. But I'm saying perfect harmony, perfect pitch. They download that song. The rights are the symbol of power and authority. The scroll is the redemptive plan of God, which is foreshadowed in the Old Testament, inaugurated in Jesus Christ, and now revealed in His victorious consummation. And written on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals, indicates that nothing can be added to God's last will and testament. Nothing. No creator, celestial or earthly being is worthy to reveal or execute God's plan in the fullness of time apart from Jesus. Do not weep. Look, behold, the lion. Christ is the greatest member of the tribe of Judah. In Genesis 49, the root of David, the messianic prophecy spoke of an ideal king of David's line who will combine power and goodness. In verse 5, 6, instead of a lion, the emblem of strength, John saw a lamb, the symbol of meekness and of sacrificial offering. The fact that the lamb was slain but is living shows that he has overcome God's purposes, concealed, hidden for ages, can now be revealed and accomplished in the fullness of time. The perfect number is seven. In the Bible, often seven represents the completion and perfect number. Seven horns means complete and perfect power. Seven eyes means complete and perfect knowledge. As I conclude, Vicky, where's Vicky? I just want to, conclude this message with a prayer. If we can all stand. I'm going to pray, but guys, think about this as you gather in twos and threes after. John the disciple, who Jesus loved, recorded in this word a preview of things to come. Dear Lord, and as we live in these last days, help us to be a ready people. Be a ready people. Help us to be ready as these prophetic events unfold, that we might be right with you, God. Thank you, Jesus, that it is all about you, that you are the one who is worthy to open the scroll, the lamb that was slain. As we lay down, each and every person, as we lay down our rights, our successes, our achievements for the promise of new life, for the promise of new life. But until that day, as you usher in your kingdom rule, as you usher in your kingdom rule, let us in the meantime be a people sharing the good news of the gospel to those around us, our family, our friends, our communities, different communities, as our act of worship, as we lay down before you, as we lead others to Christ, that act of worship to those who don't know you. Lord, allow us to be good witnesses as we await your blessed return. That is it. Guys, as you get in twos and threes, do pray for the laying down of those rights and our achievements, but more so the readiness of Christ's return and living in that. Are you living in anticipation? In Jesus' name. And we'll lead to worship. Cecilia will lead us.